is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hello, I'm Bran, and I love Christmas movies. I guess whenever.
Soy Alonso, y me encantan las películas de Navidad. Y esto...
What, did he say it all? I don't know, man. You're the best I
that
can.
That was some deer in the headlights,
too. I mean, I know.
Am I having a stroke? Is he having a stroke?
Did I, like, turn off the translate thing in my mind? Wow.
You clicked on the wrong Netflix.
I clicked on the wrong thing. I'm like, where are the subtitles? Where do I find this? Oh, my gosh. Well, I know you did, but I didn't hear you say your name. I kept.
I did, but it's Alonso in Spanish, so you know it sounds different.
Oh, Alonso.
No.
Give it to me one more time.
Alonso.
Alonso.
Yes.
Nailed it. That was all, guys. That's quick. You too can learn Spanish too.
Yeah.
With Babbel.
Duolingo with Bran.
That's exactly right. A Dua Lipa? Is that what you said?
That's a whole other thing.
Whole other thing. We don't need to get. We'll levitate there later. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing excellent.
Boy, oh boy, is it May?
Can it be? It's shocking.
Can you smell it in the air? The smell of rain and flowers? April. Well, no, it's April showers. They bring April my flowers. Showers, yeah. So the showers are gone. And yes, now from henceforth, it's just flowers.
Yes. Yeah, it's great. You know, May's my birthday month, so that's always exciting.
Happy birthday.
And thanks. We're not there yet. Oh. And I'm not one of those people that takes the whole month. That's no, knock it off. People have this assumption that summertime in Los Angeles starts at like Memorial Day, and it doesn't really kick in until about August. May and June are sort of famously overcast here, so you can get some days that are kind of windy and bleh, and you can always spot the tourists because they just are in like tube tops and shorts thinking, yeah, California sunshine. Like, no, that comes later.
That comes later. Yeah.
How's it all with you, sir?
Just hot and awful. I hate it. Mm.
Does it get muggy in that Greenville?
Gets heck of muggy. And the bad part also is like April showers bring May flowers. It's kind of true, but like the pollen has already been out and running for a month now. And so it's not going to get better. It's May.
The showers are from your eyes and nose.
I think May is, it's just a sad month all around, you know?
Well, look, it's
getting hot. It's getting hot.
Eyes on the prize. Christmas in July. It's.
I know July is great. I'm going to go on record and say that I think May is my least favorite month of the year.
Wow. Okay.
Because it's
May.
Yeah. Oh, you May lovers out there, get out of here. Go kick rocks. Hey, let me ask you this. A couple weeks ago, on the Bramble Jam Plus Facebook group, Deck the Hallmark.
Yes.
There was a panda posted a picture of him and his mime gear. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever mimed?
I took a mime class in seventh grade to get out of PE.
Oh,
so yeah, I can do the box. I can walk against the wind. Trust me.
I can't believe that Alonso would try to get out of PE with mime class. This shocking, is the shocking right? development of the year that no one saw coming.
Well, you can believe that I want to get out of PE class. You can't believe that.
Were there no other options?
That was it. That was the only option. So I was like, all right, I'll take it.
Given the option between dodgeball and being hit by a fake ball.
Exactly.
I'll go with the fake ball any day of the week. Man, that's a treat. But did you have any garb that you had? Like, did you get gloves? That was it. That was miming 102.
I can't remember. I'm sure we must have. I can't remember if we got gloves, but we did put on the white face makeup, which I joked that, you know, like for about 80% of Panda's group, that's, you know, would be literally gilding the lily. So, you know, but yeah, we had to like go the full. And I'll tell you, nothing makes your teeth look worse than having a very white face.
Oh, gosh.
You realize how not white as they thought you were, they are.
How far into the year, the class, did it take before they busted out the makeup?
It wasn't immediate. It was,
yeah, you got to learn the basics first. You got to box yourself in before you exactly. can put on the makeup. Well, all the more reason to join Bramble Gem Plus.
These are the gems you're missing.
You're missing that great, great picture. And if you're lucky, Alonzo will post a tutorial on miming later.
Oh, would that I knew everything I've forgotten about miming, let me tell you.
Well, I think what I'm going to get you for your birthday is like a mime masterclass for you.
Oh, gosh. No, it's part of my past. I decided that like making my living from words was a much better.
No, I'm going to get you a mime class that specializes in 90s contemporary Christian music. Because that's the only way to mime.
Only if Panda and I can do it together.
Gosh, like, I would pay so much money for that. That's worth all access right there.
Lunch with ourselves, DC. Don't talk.
Listen, lunch with the boys, not worth the money. And I'm the first to say it, but that right there is worth every penny. All right, let's get to the Christmas movie, shall we?
Yes.
What do you got for me this week? You seemed very excited about this, and you seemed like it was somewhat related in a sense to Polar Express.
It is somewhat related to Polar Express. It is also related to my Spanish language intro this week. This is a Mexican kids movie from 1959 called Santa Claus. Now, first of all, I know you're panicking. There is an English dub. We can watch the English dub and talk about the English dub, so you don't have to read this one. This movie became very well known to a lot of folks in this country when it was featured on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Can I watch the Mystery Science version?
No, you can watch it after we're done. Right, but no, you got to see the real movie first. But if you grew up in the Southwest, particularly in the 60s and 70s, it was a very popular kiddie matinee around the holidays.
Interesting.
And if you grew up in Mexico or, again, in the Southwest or other places in the U.S. with Spanish language TV stations, it is something of a staple of holiday television. So you might be familiar with the film from that. But for me, I was first introduced to it for Mystery Science Theater. And first I thought, oh God, this is ridiculous. This is nuts. But I've seen it enough times now where I kind of think it's brilliant because it's so weird, but it's really, I don't know. You'll see for yourself. But basically it is about Santa Claus, who lives in a castle in the clouds, and the reindeer are wind-up toys, and he works with Merlin.
Is that Satan?
I was trying
to see where I could stream it, and I was very taken aback.
And Santa battles the devil, specifically a demon named Pitch, whom Satan sends to Earth to foil Santa's kind delivery of gifts on Christmas. This movie is Baja honkers, and it is great, and I'm very excited to hear what you have to think about it.
Now, I'm seeing that it's available for free on Roku Channel and Tubi. Do you know if those are the dubbed versions?
Those are the dubbed versions, because the other ones you'll notice say subs, like Fandor has subtitled. I have it on Blu-ray. So you can find it the way God intended it. Absolutely. So you could, if you want to go to your library and find our physical media, that's also an option. But for the purposes of this discussion, and because I might have a subtitled film for you later, we're going to go with the dub on this one. I'm going to cut you some slack.
I am so excited for this movie.
It's going to be great.
There's nothing that I love more than a good bad movie.
And this is like, again, I sort of over the years have gone from this is a good bad movie to this is kind of brilliant. But,
all right.
You know, I'll be interested to see where we go right. in this.
I can't wait. I can't wait. If you want to watch, the link is in the description of the episode, so you can pause, go watch it, and then join us.
Yes.
You know, if you didn't do that already from last week. And we'll be right.
You're welcome.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we'll be right back, and we'll talk about Santa Claus 1959, Santa fighting the devil. What more do you want? Here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back, everybody. Just returned from my viewing of the 1959 Santa Claus. And we're ready to talk about it. But before we do, Alonzo, would you mind giving us a synopsis for the people out there that didn't find it, track it down, and watch it?
Sure. Santa Claus, which opened sometime, I think, in the United States in 1960, but won the Best Family Film Award at the 1959 San Francisco International Film Festival, went a little something like this. Santa Claus, he lives in a castle in the clouds above the earth in space. And his reindeer are wind-up toys. Why? Because budget. Does he have elves? No, he has children from around the world. Are they actual children? Are they immortals that look like children? We don't know. It's the big night, and Santa is ready for his trip around the world with the help of his good friend Merlin, who has given him a flower that makes him disappear, a powder that makes barking dogs fall asleep, and a key that will open any door that was forged by the Roman god Vulcan. Because, of course, Santa's got one night to cover the entire earth, but mainly we see him in Mexico. There's a young impoverished girl named Lupita who really wants a doll. And there are some mean kids who are getting up to mischief. Complicating everything is the fact that Satan wants to bring down Santa Claus's mission. And so he sends the devil Pitch to earth to cause mischief. Will Pitch manage to get Santa arrested and keep him from fulfilling his promises? Will Pitch turn Lupita evil? Find out for yourself in Santa Claus.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about Santa Claus, 1959. An award-winning film.
Award-winning film. That's right.
Let's break it down. Alonzo, you've seen it before, and you mentioned that you have grown to love this movie and think that it's brilliant or genius or whatever the word was that you used. I'd like to you to expound on this thought process that you have.
Sure. So, like a lot of people, my first exposure to Santa Claus was on Mystery Science Theater 3000, and I thought, whoa, this movie is bananas. And in fact, I even included it in my chapter on like the worst Christmas movies in my book, Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas. But here's the thing, repeated exposure to this film, and Bran, you will find yourself wanting to see it again. You may not believe that now, but you will. I kind of think it's genuinely weird and wonderful. Like it is, it falls almost into the surrealist category in terms of just its complete divorce from reality as we know it, but there's a consistency at least to the weirdness of this movie, and it's super imaginative and kind of puts a spin on the Santa legend as we know it and the way that, you know, the mechanics of how, you know, the toy delivery on Christmas works. And it's just, you know, and like the guy playing Pitch is this, you know, he was a dancer, so he's like got this really great sort of physicality to him and like wild kind of slapstick comedy. I don't know. It's bonkers, but I kind of love it now. And maybe the movie just broke me. Maybe this is Stockholm syndrome talking, but I think it's pretty rad. How did your first viewing go?
Well, can I just tell you, how did you go from seeing it to wanting to watching it time and time again to get to that point?
Well, I'd seen the MST episode several times,
which I need to watch. Then, now.
Oh, you should for sure. And then there was a theater in Los Angeles that actually screened the movie itself. Like they found a 16 millimeter print of it. So that was the first time I got to see it uncut. And so like the Vulcan stuff isn't in the Mystery Science Theater version. There's a few other things that, that aren't quite in there. Like I think there's a whole big devil dance number at the beginning of the movie that I don't know if that made it in.
There is that.
And then a few years ago, somebody put a Blu-ray out because, like, this movie does have a cult following, like, outside of MST. Like I said, for a lot of kids, like, if you grew up in Mexico or even if you grew up in the southwestern United States, like, this is a movie that would pop up on TV at Christmas time. It would get – it would show in, like, the kiddie matinee movie circuit. So, yeah, I just have seen it a bunch now, and I'm team Santa Claus. What can I tell you?
So this movie is – insane. Like what a ride. I am not a frequent, I should just say I'm not a drug user. But if I were, this would go straight to the top because I imagine it's freaking awesome.
I haven't been down that road, but you're giving me ideas now.
This movie is insane. The dance numbers alone are enough
For sure. The nightmare dolls are like.
But this is what I found. I found myself being captivated by the set pieces in this movie, namely the binoculars, whatever it is that allows him to see. It's an actual eyeball on the end of it.
Let's paint a word picture. Yeah. Like, okay. How does Santa keep track of good and naughty children? There's a big eye on like an extended thing that looks down at the earth. There's a mouth built into the wall of his like laboratory where he overhears children talking.
Right, but that mouth is connected to another like a. It's an ear that's on a fan, right? Yes. Yeah. The lips are terrifying. It's terrifying, but it was, I'm fascinated by these set pieces. Like how they got there is, I would just like, how did you get to being like, you know what? I do think we need to build these and I think it's important. I don't know. And another question is, how did we get to the devil? How did this story come about?
You know, I think that this is, you know, when you're talking about like a very strongly Catholic country like Mexico, I mean, just my parents are from Spain, so I can't say for sure. But I think that when you incorporate Santa into this very, you know, to a very religious country's sort of take on Christmas, like you'll note one of the very first things you see Santa do is set up the creche.
Yep.
It's set up the nativity scene at the North Pole.
He's like talking to it.
So we're clear, like whose holiday this really is.
He does a little shout out to baby Jesus at one point, like to start off Christmas Eve.
Exactly. You know, lest there be any confusion. And then, so the devil clearly like sees Santa as a big impediment and if he wants to take Christmas down, he's got to start with the big man. I was saying the North Pole, not even the North Pole. He's in a castle on the clouds. So you get this whole thing of this movie was actually released at certain times as just Santa versus the devil.
Yes. If you look it up on Roku, it's that. It's different on Tubi, it's Santa Claus, and then on Roku, it's Santa Claus versus the Devil, which is
hilarious.
I think just a very weird movie just in general. My mind was just racing like with how did they come up with this, like just different things that were happening. But the set pieces are truly like weird, like art. It is like these are like the lip thing with computer is something that I would feel like I would see in some weird obscure New York art show that I would walk through and just be like, and it's moving and you're like, what?
Or Pee Wee's Playhouse, right?
Or like Pee Wee's Playhouse.
That's that same level of like weirdness, but also mechanical, you know. But yeah, they're like, there's also missing from the Mystery Science Theater. Lupita has this nightmare sequence that pitch blows into her head where like the doll, she almost steals the doll, but then she doesn't. And then she imagines all these like life-size dolls coming after her and telling her that she should steal them. And she's like, no, I want to be good. And it's just like, it's genuinely unnerving.
Yeah, it's very unnerving. The whole thing is really unnerving. But I was very fascinated by the whole thing. I'm not to the point to where I think that it is like genius or brilliant or good. But
check
it is
back with me in 10 years.
It was definitely an experience and one that I did quite enjoy. And
I'm glad you got to have that experience. And you know, like Santa becomes a waiter at one point and brings a rich kid's parents a cocktail of remembrance, so they'll know to go home and pay attention to their child whom they ignore.
I found this Santa to be very creepy, and I found the children to be even creepier.
Except Lupita. She's adorable.
Adorable, yes. But the children at the North Pole at the beginning where they're singing their languages and they're doing this weird, very.
This lengthy thing and then some really unfortunate like ethnic and racial stereotyping. I'll just put that out there for anybody seeing this movie for the first time. This is the kind of thing that if you were to see it on Disney Plus, it would have that warning at the beginning about outdated cultural representations. Yeah. For sure.
Oh boy. Yeah. What a treat. And then there's like one scene where a kid, like he wakes a kid up and the kid like hugs him and he's like, I love you. And he's like, I love you. And
he's hugging Santa's boot.
That whole thing's weird. It's all weird, but
it's all weird.
It's all weird. It's just a weird thing, but I did have fun. So, there you go. I'm just watching it. I should have kept a tally of how many times I thought to myself, how did this come to be? Like just little individual things. Like how did we get to this point?
This is directed by Rene Cardona, who is best known for making, like, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the sort of Lucha Libre movies of the 60s. Like, no. You know, his most famous one is a movie called Wrestling Women versus the Aztec Mummy. But basically he would do these movies where like these wrestlers were also like super scientists and superheroes, and they would battle like demonic forces or mummies or, you know, whatever kind of things. And it was a whole genre of movies, and they're crazy. And then he also makes this Santa Claus film.
He has a lot of battle movies where good things are fighting bad things.
This is true. Santa versus the devil.
But in a literal sense, like not in some...
not in the ring, yeah. No. And then this American producer named K. Gordon Murray bought it, and he does the English language narration. And again, just played it like for years and years. And even like, if you get the Blu-ray, you see like they even made these sort of like short films using some of the like Santa's workshop sequences and stuff, and sort of pulling them out and doing other stuff with them. Like he was very resourceful as a low budget, you know, indie producer would be. But this movie is bonkers, and you'll really enjoy the Mystery Science Theater version now that you've seen it. Unadulterated.
My experience with Mystery Science is relatively small. I haven't done a lot of them, but I think, you know, but this is definitely up at the top of the list now, though.
It's got to be.
But I will, like, the, again, going back to the set pieces, but even like the town, like the background, and he was in the pitch was on the roof, and he's moving the chimney, like all those things were like really like neat. They were just kind of cool. Like,
yeah, when the kid, you know, the I love you Santa kid, when he has that dream and it's like the giant boxes and it's his parents, you know, like that. It's just strange, but strange. Fascinating and unforgettable. Like things will remind you of this movie for a very long time, or it'll just, you'll just randomly like, oh yeah, I saw a movie where that happened.
That I have no doubt. Let's do Christmas Spirit. Alonzo, where do you put it?
Yeah, real high. Look, if you aren't like up to here with Jingle Bells by the end of this movie, believe me, you weren't paying attention, because it's like the constant background music. I mean, it is set entirely on Christmas. It is, the story is all about Christmas. You know, you get a lot of festive decoration, and, you know, big tree at the rich kid's house and stuff. So I'm willing to go 9 on this one.
Yeah, it starts high and then weirdness takes over. You know, it's like you want to stay in the Christmas spirit, but then you find yourself being pulled out of it by the devil. So
who says there's no room for weird at Christmas?
Come absolutely, on. Absolutely, but there is no room for devil. I think the devil knocks it down a good bit. So it's like a 7 for me, 6.5, 7.
Okay, that's an 8 average for us.
There you go. Fine. It's not too bad. That. Yeah, I mean, if you can keep your Christmas spirit with the devil attacking you, then all the power to you personally.
Well, and really, isn't that? Are we all doing that?
Amen. Commercialism. We're looking at you. Let's compare it. Let's give a recommendation.
Ooh, gosh. I mean, this might be the one where I say, like, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, just yeah. In terms of just utter oddness and grafting of Santa onto a whole other genre, almost, or that it feels like. Like, this is a Lucha movie with Santa, and that's a sci-fi movie with Santa, you know. So also, there's a Mystery Science Theater episode of it. So, yeah, I would say watch, you know, you should see Santa Claus Unadulterated. You really can just watch either the Mystery Science Theater or the Riff Tracks or the cinematic Titanic version of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, where no jokes overlap, because that movie is nutty enough to be riffed 3 times.
I haven't seen it.
You don't have to watch the full thing necessarily. You're not missing that.
I've seen a clip or two, but I haven't got. What is cinematic Titanic?
Cinematic Titanic was so there was, you know, when Mystery Science Theater started, Joel Hodgson created it, and it was the original cast that did it. And then years later, after Joel left, Mike Nelson took over as the main guy doing it. And actually, Mike is the one who does the Santa Claus Mystery Science Theater episode. Joel does the Martians. But anyway, after Mystery Science Theater ended, Mike and a couple of the later cast members started Riff Tracks, and then Joel got together with a lot of the original people like Frank Conniff and Mary Jo Peel and Trace Beaulieu and J. Elvis Weinstein, and they started Cinematic Titanic.
Fascinating.
So yeah, there's a whole lineage here.
It sounds like they're all on great terms.
More than not, I think there might be.
You think really?
From what I know, there might be a couple of testy relationships in there, but for the most part, I think it
sounds like somebody like Dan leaving Deck the Homework in a couple years, like starting a podcast that's like reviewing Up TV. It's like, hey, we get what you're doing here, pal. We
get what you're doing. Look, I will remain Switzerland and do both shows.
As you should, my friend. I mean, I'll do both shows. Who am I kidding? If you're looking for a bad Christmas movie, look no further than Christmas in Carolina. I'll recommend it anytime I can. And now is the time that I can. And come to Bramble Fest, we will all watch it together in the way that God intended.
Can't wait.
I'm so excited to watch that movie again.
We have to get the sweatshirts, you know.
You had a different experience. I watched it with that movie's meant to be watched with your pals. I think you will thoroughly enjoy it.
I suffered through it alone, but I will only watch it again if I can watch it in the loving arms of Bramblefest.
That's exactly right. All right. I'm ready to tell the world what we're watching next week. I'm going to continue to make Alonzo suffer. I feel like we've gone long enough. We'll be watching the 2000 super mega hit, Ron Howard's The Grinch. Boom. Okay. We're ready to go. Everybody's going to go watch. It's going to be great. And then we'll come back next week and I'll tell you, because that's what we do. I don't know. Don't ask exactly. me. It's what we do. Until then, maybe we're the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.